I want you to see today how all of this ties together in Jesus. You're going to see that in Jesus, the promise was fulfilled. You're going to see in Jesus how the provision was given, and you're going to see in Jesus how the purpose was achieved. You're going to see in Jesus Christ the promise, the provision, and the purpose of God for your life are all wrapped up in one person today. That person is the Son of God. His name is Jesus Christ. And at the very first Christmas, God gave the world the greatest gift ever. When you open that gift today, when you receive that gift, there are some eternal benefits that you're going to get. And I love talking about this because when God gave us Jesus, he gave us so much. And we're going to see three specific things. So if you want to look on the back of your notes page, you're going to see three different blanks that you have today. And these are going to go along with some of what we're talking about. So first thing that we get. And guys, I am having a little trouble with this again today, not wanting to work. So if you want to advance that next slide, that'll be great. To accept God's promise of satisfaction is the first thing. Accept God's promise of satisfaction. You can't read the Christmas story without bumping into angels everywhere. You see the angel appearing to Joseph. You see the angel appearing to Mary. You see the angel appearing to the shepherds, and then all the angels appearing to the shepherds. You see the angel even before that appearing to Zechariah. And now this angel speaks to this group of shepherds out in the field, and he begins by saying, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." We were talking about this in Sunday school today, and I loved something that Dalton said when we got to this point. He was talking about the juxtaposition of good news and bad news, and that this is good news that the angel is delivering. Not a message of judgment, not a message of calamity, but good news that is coming. And you know, a lot of people do not realize God is in the good news business. The reason why God sent Jesus Christ to this planet was to bring joy, not to bring judgment. Do you know where joy comes from? It comes from being content, from being satisfied. The reason there is such little joy in our society today is because we are living in a very dissatisfied society. Even though personal income, even though home ownership, investment portfolios are all at these historic levels, interest rates are at historic lows, we are still unsatisfied. This is an interesting thing I saw on the news not long ago. In the year 1900, there was a survey that was conducted, and the average American wanted 72 different things, and considered 18 of those things to be essential. They wanted 72. They considered 18 essential things. They took the survey again this year, and the average person in America wants 500 things and considers 100 of them to be absolutely essential. Take another example. You've seen probably a lot of writing or articles about something. Sometimes it's called the Great Migration. Sometimes it's called the Great Resignation, where everybody, it seems, today is leaving their job. There are all kinds of people who are leaving jobs, changing jobs, some people going to another job, some people just not going to another job. According to surveys, up to 80% of working Americans say they are in the wrong job for them. People are totally dissatisfied with the workplace. I've shared the story before about a little boy. He loved pancakes. And so he came to his mom for his birthday and he said, "Mom, I don't want cake. I don't want anything like that. What I want is I want you to make me all the pancakes that I can eat. I just want to sit down and just keep eating them, and you just keep bringing them and be a short order cook. Just keep bringing them out." And so his mom said, okay. So she started feeding him pancakes. He ate one, he asked for another. She gave him another. He ate one, he asked for another. She gave him another. He ate the third. Kept on going to the fourth. She made more. He ate more. She's about to pour another ladle into the griddle, and she looks over at him, and she said, "Son, do you want another pancake?" And he leans back, and he has kind of this green look on his face, and he says, "No, Mom, I don't think I even want the ones I've already had." You know what the problem is? The problem is we don't even want the stuff we already have. We're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. Prosperity, possessions are not going to bring you lasting satisfaction. Nothing, and hear me clearly today, nothing except a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can bring you true and total satisfaction. Nothing can give you that except Jesus Christ himself. In the greatest psalm ever written, the 23rd Psalm, David put it this way. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack for nothing." That's why the Christmas message is such good news. Behind every problem, there's a promise. Behind the problem of sin, there is the promise of salvation. It even goes beyond that. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says, "For as many as are the promises of God in him," talking about Jesus, "in him, they are yes and amen." So when you accept Jesus Christ, you not only accept God's promise of satisfaction, but because you can know that in Jesus, he'll fulfill all of his promises to you. So you accept his promise of satisfaction, but you also accept his provision of salvation. The angel goes on to tell you exactly what the good news is. Verse 11, it says, "Now look, today a Savior, who is Messiah the Lord, has been born for you in the city of David." A Savior. Just what the doctor ordered. I read this. You've probably read it before. I love the way this person puts it. And every time I've tried to discern who actually wrote this, it just goes back to anonymous. But it says, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior." Why do we need a Savior? Remember, the angel said, "This is good news for all people." Why is it that Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Gentiles, rich, poor, black, white, all need a Savior? Because we all need salvation. Why do we all need salvation? Because of sin. Every single person was born into sin. Every single person in this room today, every single person listening to my voice online, every single person not listening to my voice who's online right now needs to know Jesus because of the fundamental problem of sin. We all live in sin, and apart from Jesus Christ, we all die in sin. I know not everybody agrees with that. Came across this quote from Billy Joel not long ago, popular musician. He says this, "I wasn't raised Catholic, but I used to go to Mass with my friends, and I viewed the whole business as a lot of very enthralling hocus pocus. There's a guy nailed to a cross and dripping blood, and everyone is blaming themselves for that man's torment. But I said to myself, forget it. I had no hands in that evil. I had no original sin. There is no blood of any sacred martyr on my hands. I pass on all of it." Y'all, I want to make sure you understand very clearly, if you pass on God, God will pass on you. You can never be saved until you admit your need for salvation. Until you admit you need salvation and until you receive salvation, you are never going to experience the good news of Christmas. Everybody loves to get a gift at Christmas. Somebody hands you something, it's wrapped very pretty, or I have wrapped it and it's not, but nonetheless, it's wrapped and it's handed to you, and you look at that gift. Well, what do? That gift is worthless unless you want it, take it, open it, and receive it. You really have to have those four items. You have to want it, you have to take it, you have to open it, and then you have to receive it. How much more of a tragedy that is when the gift is not only so expensive that money could never buy it, but it is so wonderful that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, purchased it. After several hours of shopping at the mall, a grandmother, her grandson was being really good, so she took him to see Santa Claus. Boy gave Santa Claus about a 15-minute list of every single toy that he wanted. Then he hopped off his lap. Santa gave the boy some candy. The boy just kind of wandered away without saying a word. His grandmother said, "Well, what did you say to Santa?" The little boy looked back and said, "I gave him my entire list." And she said, "Oh, well, if he was patient enough to listen to that, what do you need to say to Santa?" And the boy looks back up at him and says, "Charge it." Y'all, that's exactly what God did. God took every sin you ever committed. And if you know Jesus Christ, that was charged to Jesus Christ's account when he died on the cross for you. 1 John 1:7 says, "The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In Jesus Christ, not only are the promises of God fulfilled, but the provision of your greatest need, the need of salvation, has been met. But you have to accept it. Third thing I want you to see today, you need to accept God's purpose of serenity. Accept God's purpose of serenity. What's the result of the baby coming to earth? The angels say in verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace." I love that word, peace, on earth to people he favors. Remember, for every problem there's a promise, for every promise there's a provision, and for every provision there is a purpose. God promised salvation for the problem of sin. He provided a Savior to keep that promise, salvation. And the purpose of that provision is so that you can have peace. God wants you to have eternal peace. Peace with him. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." He's made peace. That peace with God can lead to peace with others. If you are striving in your heart to live at peace with those around you, it may work with some of them around you. It may not work with some of them around you. But the God who gives peace will give you peace even in the midst of enemies. I like the way one guy said it. He said, "God takes life's broken pieces and gives us an unbroken peace." It's all there for the asking. All you have to do is receive it. Heard about a little boy who went with his dad to the airport, and they were waiting there for the flight, and the boy was getting tired of waiting and just kind of moving around everywhere, and it was getting a whole lot for the dad to kind of watch him and to do the other things he was doing. So he said, "Son, come here." And he got a magazine, and on that magazine, he looked at it, and there was a picture of the Southern Smoky Mountains in the fall. So all these beautiful leaves and everything like that. And so he said, "Son, come here." And he took that page and he tore it out of the magazine and he began to rip little pieces off of it. Ripped the little pieces off, set them down on the floor, mixed them all up, and essentially made it a puzzle for the boy to work and said, here, I want you to work on that, and that'll keep him occupied for a little bit. So then he gets out his smartphone and he starts going through some emails, and he hasn't been going through emails for 7 minutes before the boy comes up to him and he says, I'm done, Dad. He says, really? He starts getting excited about scholarship opportunities. He says, man, this kid is brilliant. What happened? How were you able to do that? How are you able to work that puzzle so quickly? He said, oh, Dad, it was really easy. On the back of the picture of the Smoky Mountains, there was a big picture of Jesus. And when I got the picture of Jesus just right, everything else fit right in. When you take the puzzle of your life, all of the pieces of it, all of the pain, all of the happiness, all of the frustration, all of the good times, all of the bad times, when you take the puzzle of your life and you place Jesus in it and above it as Lord, every piece of your life is going to fit right in where it's supposed to be. Y'all, I want you to know today that in this Bible, in the Word of God, you will find God's promise for you. You will find God's provision for you. You will find God's purpose for you. And all of them are wrapped up in the person of Jesus Christ. Everybody in this room today, and everybody watching online, you're in one of three places today. All of us are in one of three places in your journey. Most of you already know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've surrendered your life to Him. You have that relationship with God. I encourage you to celebrate all the more this Christmas because of that. If anybody ought to celebrate Christmas, it ought to be believers in Jesus who know what He has done in their lives. But there's a second group of people. Some of you listening today in this room. Some of you listening today online. You have not yet made the decision to receive Jesus Christ. You have never unwrapped His gift of love. You've never opened His box of grace and taken His gift of eternal life and His very own presence in your life and accepted it. But today is different. Today is going to be the greatest day of your life. Because today you are going to accept God's offer of eternal life. You are going to receive what Jesus has done for you, and for the very first time, you are going to know what it means to have peace. There's a third group today. You know Christ. But you've gotten away from Him. You're not walking with Him like you should. You've let other things get in the way of your relationship with God. I just want to say that God is saying to you today, you know the song, I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. Some of you need to come home for Christmas. And I don't mean to your address. You need to come home to Jesus. You need to say, I'm tired of running from God's purpose for my life. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to embrace what He wants to do in my life. It's time to come back to where you know you are going to be the happiest, where you are going to be the best, by experiencing God's promise, God's provision, and God's peace. And that is the beauty of Christmas. Whether you're a believer or whether you're not, God sent His Son to you so that you can come home and have peace. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Those of you who are watching online, those of you who are here in person, in just a moment, you are going to have an amazing opportunity. You are going to have the opportunity to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Those of you in this room today, you didn't come here by accident. You're here on purpose. God brought you here to hear what you heard and to respond to it. Those of you who are online, you didn't just pick this message by accident. You picked this message because a sovereign God directed your mouse click to come to this message for this time. If you don't know Jesus, today you can come to faith in Christ. It is as simple as calling on His name in prayer. The Bible says whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that God gave Jesus for that purpose. Jesus even said in His purpose statement of why He came, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came. He came for you. Christmas is all about Jesus coming to fulfill His promise in your life. So I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus today, pray this prayer. It doesn't matter if you're in your bedroom or your living room or your dining room, your cubicle at work, or whether you're in this room today. You can simply pray and say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know my sin has separated me from You. I know You came to this planet at Christmas, that You died on the cross for my sin, and that You didn't stay dead. You rose from the grave on the third day to prove You were God. I now ask You to forgive me of my sin and save me. Thank You, Jesus, for Your gift. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if you're in this room and you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. In just a minute, we're going to have something that's called the invitation, and that's what it is. It's your invitation to come and to respond to what God is doing in your life. If you're online and you prayed that prayer, I want to hear from you. I want to encourage you to reach out to me, tim@fivefoorks.org, and just share with me, yes, I prayed that prayer, and we would love to follow up with you and share with you all about the new life that you have in Jesus Christ. Those of you in this room today, I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing this song, and if God the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about salvation, I want you to come and say, Pastor Tim, I prayed that prayer. Or if you haven't prayed that prayer, but you need to, I want to encourage you to come and to say, Pastor Tim, I need to trust Jesus as my Savior. And you can come and you can pray that prayer right now. We have people who would love to help you with that. Or maybe there's another need in your life I haven't touched on. Maybe it is time for you to make Five Forks Baptist your place of ministry involvement. You say, Pastor Tim, I want to come and I want to join this church. We would love to have you do that. Or maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe there's a need I haven't even touched on. Maybe you just want to pray for God's peace at Christmas during this time. God is ready for you to come to Him. As we sing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, don't wait for somebody else. You come right now. Let's sing.